In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let anyone with ears listen. I love that. It's a very earthy kind of biblical thing to say. And so that frames our story of the weeds and the wheat. This, once again, is one of the few times in Scripture where a parable is explained. And most scholars believe the explanation came later. Jesus probably didn't say any such thing at the time. And usually his hearers would have had some pretty deep understanding just right away as to what the story meant, because they were always thinking and talking in very earthbound metaphor. Even this phrase, let those with ears listen. When Sherry and I went to Africa a number of years ago, it was actually a rather life-changing experience for both of us, because we became acquainted with people out in the rural area of Western Uganda that were living in biblical metaphor. And you could read the scriptures in that environment, and they just came immediately alive. And so very often they would say almost biblical shorthand to say what they were talking about. But I sat down with some of their young clergy one day, and we were talking, and I was trying to explain American life to them, and it was almost incomprehensible. But I was explaining how you had to have a job in the United States, for most of us, to make ends meet, but you could make $30,000 a year and not have enough money. Did not compute at all. And then I explained that in order to have a job, you probably needed to own a car. That one really did not make sense. If they worked hard their whole life and amassed a bunch of money, they might be able to get a car, but they might, if they were really lucky, get a motor scooter or something. But a bicycle would be quite an achievement. And so that, too, was rather incomprehensible. And then I explained that very few of us were in a position to grow any food to feed ourselves. And that was hard to understand, nor could we build our own houses. Now, as clergy of the Church of Uganda, some months they would get paid, some months they wouldn't. But that was okay, because they were building their own houses, growing their own food, and the money sort of was almost discretionary money, which was hard for, of course, me to understand, because we needed it for necessities. And the fact that we had to buy food and buy houses or pay rent was almost incomprehensible to them. But then we ventured really far into it, and I tried to describe the phenomenon of advertising to them. And they were just getting acquainted with advertising. A Pepsi Cola salesman had been all the way out to Kisesi, where the main road in the town was dirt, but there was a brand new, fresh Pepsi Cola placard on every building in the town, sometimes two or three of them. So all throughout the town it said Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola. And I was explaining that that was creating a desire for something that probably wasn't needed. There was life before Pepsi Cola, there would be life after Pepsi Cola, but that it was creating a desire. And then we talked about it some more, and I was actually rather stunned by some of the advertising. Guinness was a heavy advertiser in Uganda. And Guinness here is sort of, you know, snooty, you know, English pub drink. In Uganda, it was sort of the Colt 45 malt liquor of their drinking. And the tagline was Guinness, feel the power, was how that was advertised there. And there was another beer that was advertised in such a way that you were to believe that it did not cause a hangover. It was something beer, and the tagline was, "Good night, good morning." Sure. So finally, as this discussion of advertising continued, one of the young clergy said, "Ah, I think I understand." He says, "Advertising, it is eating the papaya." And everybody looked at him. He says, "Yes, eating the papaya and advertising is the juice." And I went, "Yes." As he traced the strip of juice down from the corner of his mouth. And so this was how life was led, with earthy metaphor and understanding the Word of God. So the weeds and the wheat probably didn't need explanation. Clearly it was about sorting things out at the end. It was quite a crime in the biblical times to sow bad seed in your enemy's field, by the way. If you were going to commit such a crime, you did it with what was known as bearded darnel. And bearded darnel, when it's young, looks exactly like young wheat. The two of them grow up and you cannot tell them apart while they're green and small. And both of them will have a head of grain. But as it begins to mature, you can tell them apart. As the wheat grows into a golden grain, and the bearded darnel grows into a gray grain and stalk. And so it must have been right at that point where it was changing color that the slave said to him, "What did you put in your field? Didn't you use good seed?" And the master must have known full well that he had an enemy, because he said, "An enemy has done this." And so he says, "No, don't try and pull it out. You'll only pull up the good with the bad." And here the parable would have been understood and known. But he says, "Let it grow up, and then we will sort it out at the harvest." I suppose it could have been done the way suggested, putting it into bundles to be burned and the wheat separated. But I understand that it's actually hard to do it that way. And the method that is preferred is to actually gather it all together, to go to the threshing floor and separate the grain, let the chaff blow away, let all the grains fall together, and then spread them out and sort them grain by grain. The golden grain to one side and the gray to the other. The bearded darnel is not like the wheat. The wheat tastes good and is sweet and is good for you. The bearded darnel tastes terrible, and it's slightly poisonous. So they would sort it out grain by grain in order to salvage the harvest. And so the parable then is explained that God will sort out at the end the good from the evil, and it's not something for you to do now. But let the good and evil grow together, and let God be the ultimate judge. That doesn't mean we turn a blind eye to evil. No, not at all. Because we are called to lead the faithful life. And leading the faithful life judges by the shape of that life. And we are also called to call out evil when necessary, but knowing that God is the final judge over it all. But we are to live, as St. Paul tells us today, according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And this is something which is often misunderstood, because we tend to, when we hear flesh, we think of the things we do wrong with our flesh, which sometimes I call sins of the skin rather than sins of the flesh. And we get a little focused on that. But what it really means is that the Spirit of God calls to our spirit and calls us into faithfulness rather than to leave us alone, trapped in our own desires, which are often less than what God would call us to. And the question of flesh and spirit is, who's in charge? What's in charge here? Is it your deepest spirit called by God's spirit? Is that what's in charge in your life? Or are you left essentially to your own devices, which sometimes will be good, sometimes will be not so good? But it's our calling out to God, Abba, Father. And St. Paul tells us that's the very Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God and heirs with Christ and heirs through adoption. That is, we are called into God. And it is in responding to that call into God that we are drawn beyond ourselves, beyond the flesh ourselves, into life in the Spirit of God, our ultimately fulfilled, created way of being. And he goes on to say, all creation is sort of straining with this, as if all creation is in labor pains, waiting to be born into being children of God, waiting for adoption, for the redemption of ourselves. And we live then in hope, both for what is seen, but mostly in hope for what is not seen, as we are called into fullness of God in this life and then into the next. So let anyone with ears listen. The ultimate judgment is God's, who will sort it all out in the end. But in the meantime, as the creation longs for the fulfillment of God's purposes, let us cry out, Abba, Father, which is the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs with Christ, children through adoption, being called into God's reign and God's kingdom now in this world and in the next. We hope for what we do not see, but we wait for it with patience. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Amen.